This is Madison. The conversation I had was with someone that I've known for basically all 4 years of college. He was nervous to talk to me, and I was very nervous to talk to him because he knew that I self-identified as a feminist and that I was more liberal, and I knew that he was more conservative-leaning. So he told me, after the end of the conversation, he was like, I was terrified to talk to you because I thought you were just going to yell at me for like 30 minutes. And I was like, no, that's not a conversation. I was nervous that you were going to yell at me for being a feminist.
I think some people are just tired of political conversation. This is Mary. And so, some of them were maybe motivated to engage prior to the last election and then had some experiences that they're like, you know what, I would rather, it's just not good for my well-being to continue to have these conversations. I have a few people in my life I already talked about it, and I think I'd just keep it there, you know. So I think some people are just oversaturated with political conversation, and they're like, I need a break for a while.
This is Dylan. I think a lot of people really want to have these conversations, but finding that space to engage with those conversations is so difficult. Like, especially with COVID, it's been a lot of like Twitter or Facebook or whatever. And that's like the only forum that people have to come together and talk about like these political differences. Even prior to COVID, it's always been kind of difficult to have those spaces other than like your work life or whatever, where you don't want to have those conversations because you see those people every day. You don't want it to get weird.
This is the interview I did was interesting because it was a lifelong friend of mine and something that we've done. I mean, we've been friends for almost 15 years now, is we've never really talked about politics ever. So having this conversation with him, because we both came from like similar but very politically different households, was very interesting because he's lived a life similar to mine, but again, we've never had that discussion. So it was definitely interesting to see his perspectives from life where we might be standing in the same place but seeing things slightly differently. There were definitely instances where we found common ground where we weren't really expecting to. I mean, at the end of the day, we're still the same people, but I have a different level of understanding of, you know, who he is and what he believes.
I interviewed a senior who was graduating, and so what was kind of interesting about her is that she talked a lot about that she feels like she can't be open and honest completely about who she is because it's misrepresented. And so when I was her age in college, I was sort of a raging feminist, but it was so long ago, you know? It wasn't a time where very many people identified themselves. I mean, it's just like kind of the beginning of women's studies, you know? So it wasn't like most women on campus thought of themselves or publicly were like, I'm a feminist. And so I remember that feeling of, you know, if I lead with that too early in class discussions, then it just pegs me as that person for the rest of the semester instead of them, you know, knowing me and then labeling me as a feminist later and maybe having a positive association, you know?
Every conservative that we talked to did not call themselves a Republican. They called themselves a conservative or they called themselves a moderate because I think people are very nervous to identify as that right now.
Even a lot of people that used to identify as like a Democrat specifically or like a liberal, they don't really feel like they can align themselves with that party. The person that I interviewed, he was like, oh, like kind of moderate, but like I've got like certain views on this side, certain views on this side. But we like actually ended up not disagreeing at all, which was like really weird. Cause like the few times that I'd really talked to him, he would say something and I'd be kind of like, eh. And then we'd talk about it and we'd disagree a little bit. And so I was totally going into this conversation thinking that that's what it was going to be like. But I don't know if honestly at any point we disagreed.
I like the project in that it requires some self-reflection about perhaps how maybe you have contributed to this current reality. And I think I myself have been very divisive in the past, and this project has made me really reflect on what service that has done in my community, you know, and perhaps maybe I needed to think less about judgment and more about connection. And so the project allows you a chance to connect with someone. And I think a lot of us don't realize how much we're craving that, even if it's from a complete stranger, to be reminded of the humanity that we all have.
It's one small step at taking a look at yourself and kind of evaluating what your beliefs are and what you think and how you might differ from somebody else. And it's not only taking a step like externally by trying to communicate with others and take that step to bridge the gap between the two ideas, or the two parties, but it's also the taking a step inward and making sure you know what you believe and understand.
I think that the name itself is kind of perfect because it's one small step towards whether that's some kind of unity or just agreement of any nature, because I think that over the past couple of years things have become more and more divisive, more and more polarizing. With the goal of the project, what it's one small step towards just finding that common ground. You know, at the end of the day, we're all the same people on the same ground. Let's, you know, work together for something.